Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. He is worthy to be praised and worshiped, glorified. Thank you, Brother Marlon, for the message there on fear. I think you said it right. It's just not for the children, for every one of us. I trust that we are rejoicing and praising the Lord this morning, because He is worthy. Amen. Even through a year like this, and I know that many touched on that already, this was a different year. Even through a year like this, we can truly rejoice in the Lord. Just starting out, just touch on a few things here. With Mom getting sick in the hospital for 4.5 weeks, not being able to connect with her, not be able to talk with her in the last 2.5 weeks. She's in there for four and a half weeks, and she died. Then during the funeral, we heard that Martin was sick, and a few days later, he died. Then as Abner, Mose, Alvin, Jake, now Amos. We were building a garage just recently for a guy that we knew really well, Collier. And the first day we was there, he came out, and he wasn't feeling real well. And I think 5 days later, he's dead. And he had the same thing that Mart had, cancer. So the same thing. 5 days later, he's dead. And there's many more in this community as well that dying. So just a lot of death. Someone touched on that. A lot of death. And someone mentioned a while back, why are we surprised when someone dies? The Bible says it's going to happen, one after one. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. It could be the last day we ever gather like this. Very likely it will be. But one of us, by tomorrow, could be dead. And we have 2020 is not over. And they say 2021 is going to be, could be even worse than 20. So when you hear those things, it could strike fear in the heart, as Marlon shared, but it don't need to. God has our lives played out, lined up when we should take our last breath, when we're going to die. He knows all that. So let's just commit ourselves to Him. But yeah, we see it's sad to see our loved ones pass on from this earth. There's a departing, the mothers, fathers, husbands that passed on. There's a parting. I don't want to not say that there is, because there is. There's a parting. But we know that there's a resurrection coming for everyone that dies. Some on the right side, and some are going to be on the left. And they're going to stand before the righteous God and to be judged accordingly how they live their life. I remember just standing on the gravesite, my mother and then after that, several others. But I remember standing at my mom's gravesite and just standing there and us thinking, if this would be it, it says that they're in Corinthians. They read that the other day. If we only have hope in this life, we're most men of miserable. We know it goes beyond the grave. There's that live for Christ, going to rise up and be with Him. Those that live for the devil, for their own self, they're gonna be separated from God. So this is where my message comes from here. There's many more around us gonna die, because the Bible promises that. So where it comes from, there are many hurting souls around us. There are many souls around us that are searching for truth. We can acknowledge that. There's people that want to know. There's people that have a hunger. And where this message was born from. So before I start here my message, let's pray, and I'll begin from that. So let's just bow our heads here and pray. Eternal Father, as we do bow here at this time, Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for life. Thank You, Lord, that when we have a brother or sister or someone that dies in Christ, that we that we have this hope of the resurrection of them being with God. And we have this hope meeting them someday. So Lord, help us just to continue on, pressing on toward the mark, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on toward the things that are before us. And that is life that we live at this time, Lord. Help us to remain faithful in these few days that we have left. So I just pray, Lord, that you have your way with me as I share a few minutes here, Lord, today, that you would just give me peace. Just help me, Lord, just to share the things that you want to share, not things of my own. So Father, just help us just to press on. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, why don't we just turn to Luke 10. This will be my message. I want to take the message from here. And I didn't really have a title. I didn't write a title down here, but if I could put something to it here, it's just, are we ministering life to the lost? And are we ministering life to the lost? Are we reaching out to those that are hurting? And now, let's just read this here, then I'll go on. So, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them out two by two before his face in every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrips nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon you. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city that cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. And notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom, for Sodom, than for that city. Woe unto Chorazin! Woe unto Bethsaida! For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, it have been done in you. They have a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth and heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through his name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the earth of the enemies, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoicing not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in the sight. And all things are delivered up to my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who is the Father but the Son? In whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto the disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen, and to hear those things which you hear and have heard not. I'll stop right there. I'm going to share a few verses out of here. You know, as we see this, now we see that many people around us, as I shared about, are looking and groping or for something different. And that is my battle. That's not my battle. This is my burden, that we are engaged in the fight. Are we out about trying to win souls for the kingdom of God? Or are we pretty comfortable in this life, raising our children, having a good church life, which all are good, but what about the lost souls out there that are dying and going to hell? You know, many of you are younger and think this message is not for you this morning. But I just want to say, it is for you. And we know that John, if I had the numbers right, and I remember John Troyer talking about this as well. John was chosen as a disciple at the age of 13 years young. At 13, he was called to go minister life. And just curious, all those that are 13 and 15, stand up. Just stand up, 13 to 15. One, two. Just stand up just for a minute. I'll tell you to sit down. Now, you might think, well, this message is maybe not for me. But remember, John was your age when Jesus called and told John, come, you follow me, be my disciple. But remember, that you are not too young at the age of, I just put 13, but it could be 12, 10. If you have life, you can minister. So you can go ahead and sit down. So just remember as I go through this message, that this message is all, I'm also talking to you. And there are hurting souls out there that are wanting something different to fill the void in their hearts. And there's many ways to minister into the hurting souls. There's different gifts. And as I read yesterday morning, every one of us has a gift. Some gifts are in Romans 12, 5 through 8, prophecy, speaking messages from God, ministering, serving, teaching, exhorting, encouraging or admonishing, giving, ruling, or showing mercy. Surely everyone can contribute in at least one of these ways. So all these ways are a way to minister life. Just being faithful in little things. I'm going to share a little incident. The other night, Loretta and I, we left, went to pick up a dog about 4 hours away. And we went and stopped at 8. This was our also on our anniversary. So we spent a night out. But we was eating there, and the server brought us some water, and we ordered. And while she was gone, so we just decided to pray. And I rushed over and grabbed her hand, and we just started praying. And when I opened up my eyes, she was standing there by the table. And she was just like shaking, and she said, oh, thank you so much. I needed this. I needed to see this. Whatever that meant to her, I don't know. But there are so many people that are hurting. They'll want something different, but don't know how to get it. And here we got a whole church room of brothers that have the Word of God and have life, and let's not just keep it contained. That is a burden. Most messages that brothers preach, it comes from a burden for himself. And I probably preached this burden, this message, because I lack at times diligence or that in my life. So this here comes from seeing a need in my life as well. That's what I was going to say. Most messages come from brothers that have that needs yourself. And this one here came from that. The need is to go on. So we have the words of God. We have the life. We have the everything it takes. So I just encourage that we can continue on. That says that the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. This is the words that Jesus says way back 2,000 years ago. And I'd say he would probably still say it, the same thing today. The harvest is great, but the labors are few. He says, pray you therefore, the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth labors into the harvest. And we know, as I shared before, there's a hunger. There's things that are happening. So let's get engaged, because there's life. Ministering, I find that as well. Jesus says, pray that there'll be labor for the harvest. So this is just not an option. This is a commandment from each and every one of, for each and every one of us, that we would go, as it says there in Matthew 20, 28. Go ye therefore in all nations, I think. He says, And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said and spoke to them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have committed unto you. And lo, I am always with you, always, even to the end of the earth. So we see that it's not just an option. This is a commandment from God to go and be faithful in ministering. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that they would send forth laborers into the harvest. And we know that at times, there's times that we can, in a home, we can get comfortable. We have a life in our hearts. Our children are doing well. Family are doing well. And all of a sudden, it seems like we get comfortable. And I already had someone ask, Mark, how are you doing in your Christian walk? And I said, yes, I'm walking on. I'm maintaining my Christian walk. And he rebuked me. He said, just maintaining it? Something, maintaining your Christian walk is just keeping what you have. It's keeping up what you have. And he says, you just can't maintain it. He said, you need to continue going forth and to grow. And I was like, yeah, amen. So that's my heart, that we would just not have our spiritual life in within us, but it'd be a burden to continue on going. And we know that like a river that does not have an outlet. I think it was the Dead Sea. Water poured in it, but it never went out, and that thing becomes stale. And that's how it becomes in our Christian life if we do not continue being used and being let it overflow. In Hebrews 2, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience is deceived, it is just a recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken of the Lord, and confirmed unto us by them that heard us? So I find it energizing to go out and to preach or to pass out tracts or to witness for the kingdom of God. I find it refreshing every time I come back, and which we'll touch on that a little bit later on the disciples when they came back there in Luke, what it did to them. But I find that the same way with me when I go out and engage in the kingdom's work by sharing or by ministering. There's a blessing that comes from that. It does something to my heart. Plus, it is commanded. And I think as well, if each individual here, and I know that each brother here is born again, but if that starts to slip in our life, ministering to others, if that starts dying in our life, it will, the church will eventually die as well. And we know that we can't minister. I know that ministering, if we just go out and minister and preach and pass out tracts, did not bring us life. But with life, if we have life, we know that will give us a burden for the lost. So if that begins to slip in our lives, in individual lives, that will pass in through the church, and the church will begin dying. Head wrote here, but if we have the Spirit, and if we're full of the Spirit of life, and we will have a burden for the lost souls, we'll be active in ministering to those around us. You know, as I was pondering on this message, I stopped right here and I wrote down. When I was growing up, I don't remember anyone from this community come to minister to me. I don't know how many of you had, if anyone ever did to you or not. I don't know. Did anyone in this community, and I say this carefully, there's churches around here, and I had a lot of active, I was active with them. We met with them a lot, several of them, but not once was I ever ministered to about my spiritual life. And we look at that and then say, oh, wow. But don't let that be a testimony of this church. I encourage us. But I did later on when the revival started happening around here. Yes, that we had brothers that came and started sharing. But up to that point, there was nobody. Other than one incident, I remember now, When I had someone put gutters on my house, he ministered to me a little bit about the kingdom of God. And that was in 1995. But the only person, but nobody in this community, and I don't know who he was or never seen him again. So my encouragement would be that this would not be of ACCF, that 20 years from now, others around us say that they never ministered unto me, into my needs. So my encouragement is that we would be active in ministering to those. The Bible says, go your ways in verse 3 in Luke. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And we know that at times when we go out, we're scared we're going to make somebody mad. We're going to offend somebody by preaching the gospel. But here, Jesus told us here in Luke 10 how to handle all that. He says, if they don't receive it, just go back out. Go into the next house. But yet, we sometimes don't want to offend anybody. So we just don't share. Even when sometimes I know that there was a time that God laid on my heart to go share with this brother. It was one of my relatives, and I didn't do it because I was scared that he was going to get angry with me. And I repented of that. But I'm just saying how sometimes that can be. But we are commanded to go forth and spread the word of God. At times we don't want to say anything because afraid we'll upset them. God forbid. But as we have a love and a burden for the people around us, we will share how Christ can set us free from sin. Same way, set them free from sin the same way as He set us free. You know, I look back and wonder. In 97, when something happened in my life and I got a fear. I don't know if it was a healthy fear or what kind of fear it was, but I know that in my life. This probably a healthy fear, that I knew that I was not living for the kingdom of God. Something was not right. I know that the party life that I was in, the sinful life that I was involved with, it was not right. So not knowing how to handle that, I threw out my TV, I threw out my radio, and I left my beard grow, and I got a bigger hat, and I cleaned up outside. Morally. But I was wondering, if there would have been anybody there at that time in 97 to be able to minister life into me, I wonder if it would have made a difference. What would that have been like in 97 if somebody would have came and showed me the way? Seemed like there was nobody there. Now I remember going to the Amish bishop there and I told him that all the things that I'd done, I said I want to be excommunicated from the church. I want to start over with life. And he had light. He had more light at that time. Many of you would have knew the bishop at that time. And so he said, "No, I don't think you need to be excommunicated. Just repent from your works and from those things that you've done, and go on from here." But he never really showed me the things that I need to do. Where I need to go at from there. But I often ponder, what would have happened if someone would have been able to tell me the words of God, the word of God today that we have. It would have made a difference. And Paul says, the one thing I do, not look back. And I know it was God's timing later on, but I just encourage you. There's people today that are hurting. There's people today that are wanting something different. So my encouragement is to us, my message is born from, let's be active. Let's not let those opportunities slip by. Seemed like there was an opportunity that slipped by then in 97. If somebody would have come by and said, "Hey, this is what you need to do." I know I was ripe, because I was crying out for something different. But never never grasped. I know all that stuff that I did outwardly, but I end up after a year or so, went right back into deep sin again. In Acts 9 here, talk about Paul's conversion. We see here a very interesting chapter. This is Saul. But when we see when God met him on the road here, and he says,
Saul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "For I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Rise and go into the city, and it shall be told what you must do." And we see that that day, Paul, gave up hunting, and he became a fisherman for men. And we can read out throughout the whole scriptures there how Paul was a minister of light. It don't matter how much opposition he faced, he continued on. It says that we can read through the many encounters that Paul had been beaten 39 times, save one, many times. And he spent over half of his life in prison, Paul did, beaten for the gospel's sake. And that never stopped him. He was just, he had an encounter with God on that road there, and knocked him down. And he went, and it says but the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way," he told like Ananias, "for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And we could say, well, yeah, he had an encounter with the Lord. But we all did too. We all had an encounter with the Lord Jesus as well one day, when we fell on our faces and repented and cried out to the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be as faithful as Paul was here. Was Paul any more special than any one of us in here? In the sight of God's eyes. God used him in a great way, but he can use us in the same way if we are faithful. So just let's not lose focus at times, getting busy on the things of life and etc., whatever it may be, and forgetting what God had called us to do. And he had saved us for his glory. God had saved us for his glory, the same way he did with Paul. As it says there, he said, "He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." It says in Ezekiel, it says that he saved us for his glory. Yes, not for us, but it was for him. And if we get that right, it'll change the perspective in our lives, in my life. It'll change it. He saved me that I would bring him glory. He didn't save me just so I don't have to go to hell. But yeah, I mean, there's an element there. But he saved us for his glory. He saved each and every one of us that we would go and minister life unto others, so others all as well can come to the kingdom of God. And what is his thoughts when there's just week after week after week after week goes by, and we're not ministering life to others? And like I say, there's times that I find myself there. God forbid. And like I said, let's be faithful in the work that God has called us to do. And no matter what situation we are in, if we look at the situation there in Acts 16 there, when Paul was in prison, Paul and Silas, we see that as they put him in, they were beaten because of the preaching the gospel. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of sleep, and seeing that the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul, there, after he was beaten, and severely mocked and whatever, put in prisons, put on the stock, and there everything opened up. The doors opened up and the stocks fell off their feet. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all them that were in the house. And he took the same hour of the night, and he washed the stripes, and were baptized, he and his straightway. And when he was brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all the house. So just reading this right here, I just see the faithfulness of Paul. At times we get hurt. At times we get maybe offended as brothers, and something is happening, so we withdraw. So here we see Paul, through his faithfulness of God, ministering life, no matter where he was at, a family came to the kingdom of God. A family came to God. And it says that the whole household was saved, and they were all baptized, and all rejoiced. Just in the faithfulness of Paul, he led the family to the kingdom of God. And we write, how can Paul remain focused? How did he remain focused through all this time that he was, as we read through him, being beaten and being just stuck in prison half his life? It was because Paul, and it's the same way that we need to be as well, remain focused. As Paul said here in Philippians 3, he said, "But what things were gained to me, those things I count a loss for Christ. Yeah, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung that I may win Christ." Nothing was more important to Paul than the lost souls of the land. He counted everything else but dung. It don't matter what it was. He had a burden. He wanted to do what the Lord has called him to do, that is to win souls. And God has called us the same way to remain faithful. Just not, this is just one part that God has called us to do. There's many gifts, but I'm just touching on ministering life to the lost. That is my message today. But there are many other things that he has called us to do. And he found in him, not having my own righteousness. It says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. This is Paul. He counted all things but done for the loss of Christ. And he counted all that but to loss, that so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable into his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, not as though I have already attained, either perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that is, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God should reveal even to this day. So as I read through that, that's the same thing that needs to inspire us. We need to count everything but dung, everything but a loss for the kingdom's sake. If we don't, if we allow businesses, work, or whatever it may be, to in our lives, if that becomes more important to us than lost souls, it will be an empty life. Paul says, I count all that but dung. And Paul was a Pharisee of all Pharisees, and he was zealous in the Pharisees. And when God met with him in the road to Damascus there, he was zealous for the kingdom of God as he was on the Pharisee side. And that just inspires me to read through Paul's words. So we need to count things but loss if we want to have that true vision, have that sight set before us. In 2 Corinthians 5 there, just talks about the ministering of reconciliation here, the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to read a few words out of that. Ministers of reconciliation. Paul, as well, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, but that mortality may be swallowed up in life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also hath given us into the earnest of his Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Whether therefore we labor, that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he that hath done, whether it be good or bad. Then the verse 11 is what I wanted to read. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also we are made manifest in our conscience. For we commend not ourselves unto you, but give you the occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearances and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves or is God, we rather be sober, for is your cause. For the love of God, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So just the verse 11 there, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, and having that fear of the Lord in our lives, as Marlon talked about, that we would that would cause us to persuade men for the kingdom of God. Then verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul says here, let me just turn there. I think it's 2 Timothy. He encourages us here to the charge to preach. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the kingdom, quick and the dead of his appearing in his kingdom. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in those things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. And Paul is still encouraging. As Paul was doing it, he was encouraging. And that's what my heart is, just encouraging that we continue as well. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And we see that in Paul's life. This was just shortly before Paul's life was ended here, one of his last letters he wrote. He wrote, for I am ready now to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but also unto all those that love his appearing. So we see here, as Paul says, in season, out of season. Oh, I skipped a few here. So why is Paul saying that for? Because he's saying, why should we be ready to be preach the word instant, in season, out of season? Because we know that there's needy people at all times that we meet with, whatever it may be, that we need to reach out to. So if we're not ready, if we're not prepared in our heart, when God brings an opportunity for us to minister, we will miss the opportunity. It seems like if our heart's not prepared, and it should be prepared at all times, but there's sometimes we allow things in our lives that don't allow us to reach out at a time of need. And you know, there's times that there's days go by, and it seems like all of a sudden I'll reflect back in a few days that went by, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm sorry, I've not been faithful. And just ministering life. And it seems like if we pray and ask God to send us someone that needs to hear the gospel today or needs some encouragement, it seems like most of the time when I pray that, it seems like the Lord makes an opportunity. So if we're not seeking for opportunities to minister, it seems like they won't come. They won't fall in your lap. So encouragement, pray. Pray that God would send someone your way that needs to hear encouragement or needs to hear maybe this plan of salvation. Maybe needs to hear just encouraging words. So preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. So when is that season? We know that's all times. Reprove, rebuke. That's telling hard things when we reprove and rebuke. It's not telling them things that tickle their ears. But there's times that it's gonna be hard things, and they need to be rebuked and all that. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Then encouraging, it says, encourage them in the Lord, telling them the things that is possible, that it's possible to be free in the Lord. How they can be as well set free from the bondage of sin. In Acts 17 there, on Paul. Paul on Mars Hill. I won't read that. But we see here as he stood up there and began to preach. He said some hard things. He says, as they passed by, and he said, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. The one that you guys ignorantly worship, I'm going to declare unto you who that one is. And as he went and he preached, and he preached that Jesus, about his resurrection, the one that you guys killed and stuck on a cross, and he died and put in the grave, he is the one that I'm preaching about. And after he did all that preaching, it says that when they heard that of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear again of this matter, and Paul departed from them. So just as we see the faithfulness of Paul going from city to city, preaching Jesus. Some heard, some didn't. Sometimes, like when we go preaching and we hear a lot of people rejecting it, it almost want to make you just stop. But no, we know that some will hear, some will mock. And we need to be firm as well as we go out. Know what we believe and what we teach. If not, we won't be able to help any. So we need to know the Word of God. Know what it says and study it as the Bereans. It said, be good Bereans and search out the Word. Just for example, when the first time I went to prison ministry, it was, I don't know when that was, in Michigan City. I was young in my Christian life. And I was probably a little fearful. These big prisoners, all these tattoos, long hair hanging down. They look intimidating to me. But I remember the first one I met, the first prisoner I met that day. And when I want to talk about it, be firm what we believe and not just to agree everything they say just to make them feel good. But I went to the prison, and I know the first one I met, I asked him, hey, how are you doing? He goes, oh, not too good. And we got talking a little bit, and he says, you know, sometimes, he says, I don't know how you are. He said, but I have I just struggle a lot about trusting. I doubt a lot. I doubt in my salvation, I doubt in Jesus and all that stuff. And he goes, you understand what I'm saying, right? And I knew that where I stood with God, I was freshly converted. And I knew that Jesus was my Lord. I knew my sins were forgiven. But I just said, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And just like that, he looked at me and says, you doubt as well. How are you going to help me? And he turned around and walked away. And just taught me something. You know. And I know that I didn't doubt in my salvation at that time. So just that we would minister life through truth. I could have just said, no, I thought, I don't doubt my salvation. But I just wanted to, you know, just strike up a conversation with him and go a different way. But we know that let's be firm in what we believe. And this, if we say hurtful things or hard things or whatever it may be, trust that it'll minister life. In James 5, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of the way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's for each and every one of us. Remember that. If we lead someone to Christ, we save him from his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Does that give us a burden? I mean, we have friends. I have nieces and nephews, and I have relatives as well yet that don't know who Jesus is. And unless they repent, I'm going to go to hell. Can I give us a burden? You have family like that too? It says if we convert a sinner from the error of the way, and we know that it's not, we can't convert the soul, but we can minister life where God can do a work in the heart of a sinner. You'll save a multitude of sins. Then there, back to Luke. I know that I was going to go through that verse by verse, but that won't happen. But we see that that he says, unless they repent, they will be removed. It says, unless they repent, it will be moved. More tolerable in the day of Sodom than that city. And I don't understand. I really don't understand what that means, other than it will be a horrible day. Because Sodom and Gomorrah, we know what happened in that day. The whole city was burned with brimstone and fire coming down from heaven. And here we see the souls that never repent and never get right with God. He said it's going to be a day more severe than that day. Can you imagine someone hearing those words of Jesus saying, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you"? Horrible. Just ponder that. We stand before Jesus. Just ponder that. We're standing before him and he says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Billions of people are going to hear that word on that day. Billions. Majority of the people are going to hear those words and they're going to be taken, as you've seen, if you got a little glimpse of that story, Pilgrim's Progress, as they were bound hand and feet and drug away by two angels. Billions of people. Unless we are truly born again and our eyes set fully on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and fully committed to him, we won't have the burden for the loss. And as we look around to see the churches under attack, and the churches are being under attack, we know that. And it just some by differences, whatever they may be. But during this time, there's souls that are dying and going to hell. The enemy is attacking many. It says in the last days it's going to wax worse and worse. Well, let's be engaged. Remember, children, no matter how old you are, you can be faithful, whatever it may be. Just bowing your head and praying somewhere. Someone that could be a great encouragement for somebody, or serving wherever you may serve. God calls you to be a missionary. Go. That's my encouragement to the brotherhood, just to rise up and go into all nations, as it says in Matthew, to preach and to teach and to baptize. So just a few more verses here. I'll close here on the half of Luke 10. When the 70 return, let's just read that. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through his name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you the power to tread on the serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, but the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in the sight. All things are delivered unto me of the Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto the disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen, and to hear those things which you hear and have heard not." So just encouragement. We see here, they came back as they were sent out two by two. And they come back and they were encouraged. They went out ministering two by two. And they came back full of light. And that is, it works the same way here. When we are active in the kingdom of God, ministering life to others, there's a fulfillment that comes from that. I feel that as well when I come back. It says that they came back with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us." Then he quickly said, "Don't rejoice that the devils are subject, but he said, rejoice that your name is written to the book of life." And today we can rejoice that our name is written to the book of life. So let's go ministering. There's many needs, and there's many that are searching, many that are opening. They need answers. So I'm just going to close off with that. And if anything I said that was not scriptural, if I said anything that wasn't right, just I'm open to correction. So may God bless you.